Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Vault dwellers and wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. It is another patron chat week because we are at the end of November already, and we've got some crazy cool news that came out about the Fallout TV show. So I've gathered together our patrons in order to go over all of the details, the things that we know now, the new information that's come out, the new screenshots, all of that stuff, and get everybody's perspectives on the information. And to join me on this is this full cast of patrons this week. And I'm going to read out everybody's names. And then on the count of three, you're going to all make a sound of a vault door opening up into the wasteland. Vault 33 opening up. It's all going to be one communal sound that they're going to use in future. Maybe I'll use it in future things as a sound effect. We'll find out. All right. We've got joining us again, Pumpkin King, Nova, Everett, Void, Lil Green, AK Spartan, Con Man, and Maverick. On the count of three, get ready to make your vault door sound. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. That was spot on. That was perfect. Welcome back, everybody. And welcome, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new, thank you for joining us. Here we go, friends. We're going to dive into this. We have information about some of the specific characters. We knew about some of the actors. Now we know about some of the characters. We've got some screenshots. And just a reminder to all of you, I've posted the link to the Vanity Fair article, which has a bunch of information, a bunch of pictures. So if you want to reference any of these things while we're hanging out talking, pull up that link in the Discord. Here, let's get into it. First of all, just I want to get some general impressions. How do you guys feel about this? We're only a few months away from a Fallout TV show. We know it's going to be canon. We know it's going to be like something like 216 years after the bombs drop. So we're talking much later in the timeline. We've got ghouls, we've got vault dwellers, we've got Brotherhood, we've got a bunch of the things that you would expect to see, and we actually can see them now in pictures, which is amazing. So let's open this up to begin with. What are your thoughts? How do you feel? Pumpkin, how do you feel about this?
So, like, you know, early on, everyone was like up in the air and all that. I was really excited when they announced it. And when now that I'm getting, you know, we're getting our first looks at it, I think it's looking really good, and I like how the ghoul looks and how he's got his whole outfit and
the cowboy suit.
The cowboy. Yeah. Because it's on the West Coast. We're going back west. That's what I'm really excited about. And then it looked like almost like one of the screenshots where it shows the back and it shows like there's the front of the plane hanging off and all that almost reminded me of Megaton.
The plane hanging. Okay. So that picture here, let's just dive into this. We have a picture. It appears to be the female vault dweller, and her name is, Lucy. So this is played by Ella Purnell, and I'm going to just read through this. This is how we're just going to roll with it. We're going to roll from one topic to the next. Ella Purnell is playing Lucy, who is an optimistic, but naive young vault dweller who has an all can-do American spirit. She has a peaceful and idealistic nature that will be tested when the group is threatened during her adventurous trip outside. So it seems like she's leaving the vault for some reason. And that image that we're talking about appears almost like you're looking from the vault opening up, or maybe not. Maybe this is just part of the fuselage of that plane looking at what appears to be a like a little town made out of junk. Like it's got like Diamond City vibes going on for me. What do you guys think about that? Void?
So if you read any of that article, it said it was Philly, which was a junk, which looked like a junkyard.
Oh yeah, underneath the
actually a,
yeah
yeah
yeah under,
what
underneath
was actually
the
a town full of survivors. And to me, Philly is a nickname for Philadelphia.
Right. Well, here let me read it. It says Ella Purnell's Lucy enters Philly. That's in quotes. An apparent junkyard that is actually a town of survivors in the remnants of Greater Los Angeles who cobbled together the village from scrap. So I don't know if this is directly outside like the vault entrance, like nobody leaves the vault, like it's a 101 kind of thing. And then finally somebody leaves and they're like, oh, there's people right outside. Or if this the image like the shot is coming from a different angle. But it appears to be a place called Philly in Los Angeles. So,
yeah, I just scanned through. So,
yeah. Interesting, right? Like junk places. You've got like a bunch of tin looking roofs. You have these hodgepodge together letters on the top of one of the buildings. You've got the front of a plane that's kind of hoisted up on top of some sort of platform or something. You got like a smokestack, and you can see in the distance what appears to be the ruined skyline of Los Angeles. So there's a lot going on in that image. Void, did you have any other thoughts about any of that? Or just calling out the Philly name?
I was mainly calling out the Philly name, thinking that it was like a remnant of Philadelphia. But I mean, wasn't Megaton the one surrounded by a bunch of junk?
Yeah, it had like a junk wall. And in the image, you right. can kind of see a very similar, what appears to be.
Yeah, I just said it kind of gave the feeling of Megaton. Because yeah. like I remember it always had those like, the head of the plane reminds me of like when you walk first get into Megaton and you see the jet engine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminds me of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you look at the background, there appears to be a wall, like a very large wall made out of what might be containers. Like big old containers stacked on top of each other. But you've got that kind of like artificial city wall made out of junk kind of thing going on. So cool stuff. Any other thoughts on this one? No?
I have some.
Yeah, Nova?
Yeah, so look at the picture closely. They are shipping containers. And so I'm guessing that they were probably drugged there from the port of LA. Or maybe even there's a rail yard nearby that they were scavenged from. Mm-hmm. It looks like what she's in is the rest of the body of the plane. So if you see the struts on the side, that looks right. like the body of the plane.
Right.
And so is maybe, probably not LAX, but maybe it's a plane crash. So I'm not really sure what else to say, but I was just looking at it closer while you were talking. I just wanted to chime in and say that it is... definitely rail yards, but there's trees growing on top of it. The background of the city doesn't look like it's hit directly by a nuclear weapon. So it may.
They might just be the bones. It might just be the bones of what's left over of those tall buildings. You know how sometimes in movies and things, you'll have like the skeleton of the of the tall buildings, but most of it's blown out.
I mean, it is called the Boneyard.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And we haven't seen the Boneyard in any of the modern Fallout games.
Not any 3D capacity, no.
Yeah, not at all. So that'll be interesting. Also, if you look at her character, she's wearing, you know, like her vault suit, and she's got this backpack with like a bedroll and the Vault-Tec logo you can see on it. It's very like kind of dim, but you can kind of see the Vault-Tec logo on the bag. So we're getting that vault dweller leaving the vault for the first time, looking like a vault dweller, and everyone else in the wasteland knows what a vault dweller looks like, you know, like that kind of thing. So I think that's probably going to play into it a little bit.
I hope they're going to use the the blue moniker yet again, just like they just like Piper did. I hope that's a reference they're gonna make. I really like that.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of these other images. The very top one at the Vanity Fair article has her leaving the vault, and you've got that expression on her face, which represents the same thing so many of us felt the first time we left a vault in one of the games. And you go out into the world and you can, like, the sun is bright and you can see really far, and it's like, what is this place? What's all this stuff out here?
Everything looks like it's ruined. That's just the face I make whenever I leave a movie theater in the middle of the day.
It's very similar, sure. Yeah, her hands up. Yeah. Yeah, and she's got her bag, she's got the vault suit. She even has kind of a brace on her arm. It's not a Pip-Boy, I don't think. It looks just kind of like a leather brace, like it's part of her equipment. Do you think maybe there's a Pip-Boy on the other arm? Because that one's out of frame. That would be her left arm that's out of frame.
The Pip-Boy's always been on the left arm. I know it's been on the right arm, actually. It's not the left arm in Fallout 4.
I believe
it's on the left arm in Fallout 4.
Yeah, I believe it's always.
I'm searching through all of my memories right now, trying to remember where it usually comes up from.
Yeah, it's on the left.
If you look at the other image of her and her, what it looks like her father, he's wearing a Pip-Boy on his left arm. So that matches the
games. If you go back to the first image of the town of Philly, you can see it on her left arm there.
Oh, you can see it there too? Okay.
Yeah, you can see it there.
Oh, yeah. It's real.
She has her hand on her pistol, it looks like.
Yeah, it's real dim, and her hand is just past the bag. But yeah, you're right. You can tell there's like a shiny screen or something on the edge of that.
And then the very bottom photo, you could clearly see what it's going to look like.
The picture of her. I guess that's her and the director, I think. Jonah Nolan, who's kind of one of the guys running everything. And yeah, you can see we can very clearly see it on her wrist there. So far, a lot of like very, very exactly what you would expect kind of stuff about just taking a game and making it real world. You know, like if somebody had posted a picture of her and Jonah Nolan here and we didn't know there was a Fallout TV show, we'd all probably be like, wow, that's a really cool cosplay. Good job. You know, which is cool. I think that's exactly the vibe. And I know Todd Howard he's executive producing this. There's a lot of stuff about how meticulous he was about picking out the right people to create something that was going to be canon. This is going to be canon. That's another topic. How do you feel about that? Actual TV show canon stuff that's happening 200 years after the bombs drop, that's going to expand our knowledge about vaults and the Brotherhood and... Yeah, you know, all sorts of other things.
If there was going to be a show, I would want them to commit fully to making it canon. I would have been more upset if they had played some kind of half-assed, like, non-canon thing, personally. That might just be me, but I feel like that was the better route to take.
Yeah, I think the other dynamic was making something that was canon, but retelling a story that was already told. And that was one of the things Todd said he didn't want to do. Like, the people were pitching, like, let's tell the Fallout 3 story. And he's like, we already told the Fallout 3 story. We don't need to redo that. Let's add something new.
Can I add on to something here?
Sure, Maverick.
On to this.
Yeah, go
so,
for it.
So I agree full-heartedly. I with something with like this being canon in the Fallout lore. You gotta pull out all the stops, man. You can't just leave it half open. I mean, that's the Bethesda way, to leave everything vague. But in something like a TV show like this, you need to bring something in. You need to give us answers. You can't be vague.
I also think it helps to tell us before we watch the show that this is canon. So we don't have the conversation of, well, this part feels different. Wait a minute. Does this have something to do with this? Because it's similar. You know, are they retelling this story? Like, no, this is new, all new content. It's absolutely canon. And had they not made this into a TV show, this could have been the storyline for a future game, as far as they're concerned. They're treating it with the same level of respect and care, which I think is important, right? So are you all on board with that idea? Are you all like, yes, give us canon content. It's going to tie into everything we know about the game exactly how we would expect.
I feel like absolutely. I'm a little bit more accepting of it, knowing Todd Howard is like heavily involved with the storytelling and like picking like the actors and everything like that. I feel like if it was a situation like the jumping topics, World War Z, like the book and the movie are two completely different things, I feel like, in my
right.
eyes.
It's almost like they bought the rights to the name because they knew it would help sell more tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but like knowing Todd Howard's there and we're seeing, and like just from the few photos, we're seeing things and that like are they're just, they're just falling into place. And that is like a big thing for me. So like, and it being canon, I'm down for it, because then that means like, what are they going to connect? Where does this fall in the Fallout timeline? Mm-hmm. Where do like, and like those of us that play the games, we're going to be picking up on references that people that like don't know about. And then like, it's just going to deepen the conversation and then bring more people to the Fallout universe.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's like, it's probably going to be something like the New Vegas 2 that everybody has been theorizing about and wanting since Fallout 4 came out and then 76. And I mean, since it is canon, it also brings up the question, will Fallout 4 references be made and what actually happened? Because I know there's like two or three different ways that you can go in that game.
I think there's three different ways you can go out in that game.
Yeah, so I they'll have to decide what the ending of Fallout 4 is if we get reference to that stuff, right? Like, if that actually plays out.
That brings me to something I wanted to bring up about one of the images, and mm-hmm. that being the image of that airship.
So we got the Brotherhood, right? It looks like we've got a bunch of...
It looks like the Prydwen, but is it the Prydwen?
It looks a little longer.
It says the Caswain. It's named the Caswain.
Oh, does it? Did it say it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, because
in the lore, it is talked about how the Brotherhood do have like fleets of those ships. So,
okay. See, I missed that.
But we also know that a lot of those ships crashed around Chicago.
Like the thing that people always forget is that those were very primitive ships. Those were basically Zeppelins. This is much more advanced than that. Those were blimps. This is basically a Zeppelin at this point. Zeppelins are, you know, a fair bit more advanced, and also this is using fusion technology. This is using fusion technology, while those, I believe, were basically the most bare bones going where the wind is going. This is brand new technology that is using World War I era tech. And so this is a massive evolutionary step that the Brotherhood did take. And I would assume that, because I did a little bit of research before this, it's called the Caswana, which is a alternative name to the Prydwen that's from Arthur, because his ship is named
Round Table.
The Round Table. Yes, you.
yeah, me. Yeah.
Yes, because in that book, there was an alternative name to the Prydwen, which was Arthur's ship, called the Caswana, or however you pronounce that.
Caswanan? Yeah. Caswenan. Caswanan? Yeah.
And so I would assume that because because Maxon was able to reunite the West and East Coast, that he was able to transmit the plans of the Prydwen they construct on the East Coast back to the West Coast, and they just decided it was a good enough design, so they're going to begin producing mm-hmm. these as their own standard of operations.
Right, like kind of like the Titanic ship design. There were actually three ships made that were almost identical to the Titanic.
Yeah,
same kind of design, but yeah.
You take a good design, and then you build it, and then you make improvements later down the line.
Right. Well, what's really cool about the way it looks is if you look at the underneath section of it, you have those walkways. Like, it brings back memories of walking around the Prydwen, right? Like, it looks almost identical to the layout of the way that all of those structures kind of fit until you move up into the main structure of the ship. But from the parts that we can see, that part looks very similar.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It was probably transmitted from the East Coast to the West Coast. This is probably not a convergent design. This is probably something that they were told to build.
Right, right.
And then it's a floating aircraft carrier, essentially, which is so cool.
I hadn't read the caption yet.
Yeah. And there's vertibirds.
My bad.
There's like four different vertibirds that are flying around like near it. You have this whole group of what appear to be soldiers in white shirts. I'm assuming these are younger
recruits.
Yeah. This group, and maybe this is their first glimpse of the actual, like this actual blimp. And they're probably like, oh man, look at that, or Zeppelin. Something. Yeah, Zeppelin. So yeah, some cool stuff in that picture for sure. Speaking about other Brotherhood stuff, we get a really good look at power armor. What do you think about that? What do you think about this power armor suit and this character Maximus, who's another one of the point of view characters I think that we'll be following?
It looks gorgeous.
It looks awesome.
Like, I do want to say whoever wrote this article must not be super familiar with like Fallout lore, because they did write just power suit knight.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Power suit
they
knight.
They also they capitalized power suit.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that.
I do like, because it gives out the bulkiness of what it really is. And the power armor has been, you know, hinted at since they first announced the show. Because when they first announced it, they had the director who's, you know, sitting there, and they had the power armor reach in and hand him a Nuka-Cola bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're finally getting a full picture of the armor.
Right.
And it looks gorgeous.
Everett, what do you think? You started to chime in here. What do you think about the power armor?
When I first saw the pictures show up, it kind of like was a flashback to when I was playing Fallout 4 for the first time, and I like saw a suit of power armor. It just kind of like hit me like nostalgia. Like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, this looks so good. And I love that they're like so incredibly accurate to the lore, because I know this super, super important to the community, and like being able to witness this happening in real time is so cool. And I'm so grateful to like watch this unfold over time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Also, one of the things that really stands out to me is that it physically looks like it's designed to be worn by a person. This does not look like we're looking at CG art. It does not look like they took the game files and like, you know, up-res them in order to put them in a movie. This looks like a person wearing physical armor. Like, they're actually walking around in a suit that could actually work in the real world. That's exciting. Like, that's really exciting to me, because that feels more real. And there's that feeling like the first time you come across power armor, or you come across an enemy in power armor in any of the games, there's this level of intimidation, this like, holy crap, what is this that I'm looking at? And looking at this gives me that same kind of feeling, that same like, it's a little Darth Vader, it's a little Warhammer, you know, but it's like, it looks freaking real. Does that hit you guys?
One of my favorite things that Fallout 4 like brought in and like made kind of different was the idea that power armor is more than just a suit of armor. It's like a vehicle.
Yeah.
And that 76 has continued that. Now this show appears to be continuing that tradition, is something that I'm a huge fan of. I also kind of appreciate, I don't know if I'm the only one, it feels like the design of the Fallout 4-esque assault rifle he's carrying has almost been modified to look like it's specifically for a power armor wearer.
Right. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Right. It's enormous.
It's color match.
So yeah. I have been saying this for years, that the assault rifle as it was designed was supposed to be a replacement or a supplementary to the miniguns and other heavy machine guns. Because I've talked about this many times, that the power armor specifically was supposed to be used in what is called walking fire tactics. Essentially, so this goes back to World War I. So go back 105 years ago. Essentially, the concept was that the Allies were going to walk across no man's land and just firing automatic weapons at the German trenches. That never worked out because, you know, it's humans carrying carrying heavy weapons, walking through mud and craters and craters
and
you
know, all sorts of other things. Sure, yeah, yes. Sure.
But then, like, I look at power armor, though, I'm like, this would be the perfect vehicle for that. Mm-hmm. But because of the restrictions with the resource wars, we weren't able to produce enough heavy weapons to go along with the power armor. And so the assault rifle, with the design of an 80-round drum magazine, basically copying the MG08/15 machine gewehr 08/15. That was the German version of the light machine gun from World War I. It's water jacketed, cooled. It has a 4x optic on it. It has a buffered recoil, a recoil buffer within the stock, and it's an extremely reliable weapon. That would be a perfect substitute for other heavy weapons. And the best part is it could probably be used by normal infantry as well as a squad automatic weapon. And so it's a good basically universal support weapon. And I've been saying this for years, and I've been very excited to talk about it, if you couldn't tell.
Those are some really good points. One of the things I've always thought was one of the dumbest things in that you could do, not that the games are like, but that you could do in the games, is put on a suit of power armor and then carry what feels like a really dinky little weapon.
Yes.
Right? Like, I always felt like that. Like, even if the weapon worked really well in the game and I really like using it, I always felt really dumb if I was in power armor with a tiny weapon. Let's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was like, the little detail in Fallout 4 in New Vegas, if you do wear power armor while using a handgun, if you're out of power armor using a handgun, then you wield it with two hands. But out of power armor, like, if you use VATS, it's only in one hand.
Right.
And there was always something really cool about using, like, the 44 Magnum in Fallout 4 in power armor and getting like the big bull barrel on it.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I always thought like visually it should match in some way, right? Like, it needs to look as imposing as it actually feels to shoot it.
One thing I can say looking at this photos, zip ties are canon in Fallout.
Zip ties? Where do you see zip ties?
If you look at the back of that barrel right in front of the scope, there's a black zip tie all around that barrel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zip ties.
Hey, you know, the prop department, they probably don't get paid that much.
Considering it is Fallout and like you just use whatever you can to make sure it works, I'm down for it. Honestly,
redneck,
I'm not trying to rip it. I'm just like,
best.
I'm like, hey, like, they're doing what they can to make it work.
Yeah.
It's been 200, like, what do you say, 17 years? So 16. Obviously. 16? Okay, Mr. Pedantic. Something's obviously going to break eventually.
Sure,
and so the zip ties are a good way to do that.
But yeah, no, like, I'm actually kind of happy to see it, especially being like the Brotherhood of Steel. Like, they, like, not everything is pristine with them. They're like, no, they're still hobbling stuff together, and like, if they need to like use a zip tie to put all something together, they're gonna do it. So I like that.
Yeah, and some other details. Obviously, the suit looks like it's very well designed. The helmet looks exactly like you would think the helmet would look, with all the little doodads and all the cool stuff on it. The logo, the Brotherhood logo on the chest armor. That design is straight out of the games. Like, it may be some slight tweaks, but very, very accurate. Go ahead.
Is anybody else like wondering what direction they're going to take the Brotherhood in this?
Let's transition into that by talking about Maximus and his outfit. You see Maximus standing behind in the power armor? I'm getting almost more Nazi vibes out of that outfit. Are you guys like, it comes across a little German, like the gray, the long, like the way, like he's got these clips and like suspenders and things on him and like pockets and stuff. But the way that that outfit looks like it's crossed over in the front, like there's a broad double breast and the length that it goes down below his waist. It's given me like World War II, almost Nazi stuff. And usually that design language is usually used for the Enclave, but here we're getting something
Go for the Enclave.
But maybe what if in the absence of the Enclave and with all the events of Fallout 4, the Brotherhood is turning more authoritarian? Like, what if this is symbolic of that? So to kind of go with Conman's comments, like, do you think we're going to see that sort of play out in a, like, they're overstepping their bounds, they aren't necessarily the good guys?
I'd like to see some internal conflict within the Brotherhood, actually, because there's way too much in almost all of the games except for Fallout 3, where you have the outcasts, but they've abandoned, but they're kind of the not good people because they've abandoned Lion's Brotherhood because they're being good people. But in Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 4, like, all of the Brotherhood followers just kind of are blindly following whatever their elder says for the most part. Yeah.
So do you think that's going to be a storyline we see with Maximus, is this idea that his character arc is like, rah, 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 go Brotherhood. And then he starts having moral issues.
I would love that. Actually, I would love if that was like a major plot hook in this.
I feel like even just early on, I felt like that was probably the direction we would see, because that creates a thing you can tell stories about, right? It creates gray And then there's questions about, well, is the Brotherhood bad? Is it the leadership that's bad? Is there a specific individual that's heading things in the wrong direction? How do you manage that? And then you have character growth with, I'm assuming Maximus and some of these other main characters eventually meet up and their experiences in the world change them. I mean, that's how stories are written, right? Characters get together, they meet people, they're tested, they come out different on the other side. That's the character arc thing, right? Lil?
I'm just going through like some of the images of like the characters from the Brotherhood of Steel, and like it seems like scribes and knights wear like a harness system outside of the power armor,
right?
So I don't know. It's too early for me to be like, oh, like just because of his character design, he's leaning towards like a not like, you know, like
authoritarian,
a 1940s right. German look,
right?
Versus like just the Brotherhood of Steel that I'm kind of used to seeing.
It's a similar outfit to what we're familiar with, but I feel like there might be these like slight design elements that are kind of pushing it a little bit more in one direction, but maybe I'm reading into it. Maybe that's not actually true.
I mean, I guess the way I could look at it is we might be reading into it and if you just look at the games themselves, like I feel like each game portrays the Brotherhood of Steel in a different light. Like in New Vegas, they're like the underground in a sense. Three, they're more, please correct me if I'm wrong, they're more of the good guys. Four, they're like in that gray area.
Yeah. Lions' Brotherhood becomes way more inclusive, and they seem to be going out of their way to do things that might put them in danger for what appears to be moral reasons. And then four, everything is headed more in the direction of, if it's not human, we kill it.
Yes.
Regardless, like no ifs, ands, or buts, and we're going to go do what we need to do in order to do what we need to do. Like there's that like no tolerance kind of policy thing going on. So yeah. So it depends. Like the Brotherhood is an interesting organization in just like a corporation. Corporations are not good or evil. The people who run them make good or bad choices, right? Good or evil choices. And that seems to be similar with the Brotherhood. The mantra itself of like, let's take care of the technology so that it gets used in careful and in good ways for humanity isn't a bad mantra. But how you go about managing that can totally change that. So yeah, it could go either way. We may even have factions. Who knows? Maybe this is just one faction of the Brotherhood and there's another faction. Maybe there's some infighting between different generals or something like that, right?
You're literally reading my mind, because I was just kind of having a thought of like, what if the Brotherhood outcasts or like another version of them did kind of return, but now the places are kind of swapped and the outcast Brotherhood is more like the ones who are like the more moral, helping other people because it's the right thing to do kind of situation. And then the main Brotherhood stays on the path of preserving technology and wiping out like the non-human element. And in that way, we would kind of get, like you were saying, a shift towards the Brotherhood being more Enclave-esque.
Yeah, I mean, the Enclave and the Brotherhood are different by only a few degrees. Right. It's almost the methodology. Both of them want control over technology. Both of them want what's better for their people in order to do the things that they want to do. Right. Those things make sense for any group that wants power in the wasteland. Obviously, the methodology is different. Usually the Enclave is more fascist and what they say goes. You don't question it. And it's all for the betterment of those who they decide are worthy. The Brotherhood sometimes takes those who they decide are worthy perspective, but sometimes, depending on the leadership, they tend to be more broad and open for that. So there's more flexibility in the Brotherhood than in the Enclave perspective, but it doesn't mean that a group of Brotherhood couldn't go full fascist if the leadership led them that way. Absolutely. It very much could go that direction.
I think you guys are overlooking something fairly substantial. The NCR, that's probably why everything seems so militarized. Well, obviously it's the Brotherhood, but I mean that the everything specifically though seems like they're preparing for war, because they probably are actively at war with the NCR. Last we saw of them in New Vegas, Operation Sunburst had just happened, where an entire battalion, a couple hundred NCR troopers assaulted the
Helios 1.
the Helios One power station, and basically just decimated half of the Mojave chapter. And I would not be surprised if the NCR and Brothers of Steel are still at war in the TV series, and that's why everything is set up the way it is. Like just look at the picture that you're talking about. Maximus is about to draw his 10 millimeter pistol, his N99. He's wearing what is essentially the most standard web gearing, which for all intents and purposes, literally every single country in the early part of the 20th century had equipment just look just like that. Sure, he's wearing darker clothes, which probably gives off a more Nazi vibe. But at the same time, though, it's probably because at the same time that you can't really say if it is more Nazi-esque or not, because every single country used web gear just like that, and it's probably was scavenged off of a dead NCR trooper or homemade. That's probably the easiest way to make it.
Yeah, and I'm not specifically pointing out like the actual straps and things like that. It's more the double-breasted, the way that the coat part of it looks, even if you took that stuff off.
Yeah,
that's the part that's hitting me more as Nazi-esque. But yeah, I get the point that you're making. I don't know. Well, you haven't seen anything about the NCR. So
yeah, we haven't.
We don't know.
I would assume, though, because the Brotherhood of Steel is more iconic than the NCR, they're focusing that on they're focusing on that to get people extremely, as you said, hyped? And excited.
Right.
Hyped.
Right.
And excited for the TV show. The NCR is going to be that distant enemy that you slowly get to know over the course, because it appears that you're going to meet the Brotherhood first.
Yeah, maybe they're sold to us as the bad guys, and then we come to find out that it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, the distant enemy that you slowly get to know.
Right, right. Well, tell you what, we got it. We've been going long. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We've still got more stuff to talk about. Let's real quick go thank the patrons, and then we'll come right back and continue talking about some of the other characters we haven't discussed yet. So don't go anywhere. Big thank you to our sponsor for today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world taking place in the world known as Tamaris. Team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle. A variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder orcs, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. Oh, and please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magic artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport, or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
See another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, so we at least have to take a moment to welcome our newest patrons, Everett, who's joining us. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And Quinn, thank you for signing up. I hope you are enjoying the benefits of the Patreon. If you have any any curiosity at all about ways that you can help the show or stuff you can get, go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Check out all the different stuff like ad-free episodes, the t-shirt designs, all of those things are posted on there. And also, we have to shout out our sentry bots, Germinator and SkyR. Thank you for your support as well. And thank you to everybody who takes time to leave reviews, people who have been sharing their Spotify Wrapped stuff on social media. It's so cool when people post stuff and they're like, follow Lorecast, this is my favorite podcast of the year. This is awesome. I listened to 1,000 hours or 10,000 hours, however many. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot of hours. Thank you for all of you for doing that. Also, we have some new reviews. These ones are quick. This one comes from Grey Ghost Hunter in Canada. This is on Apple Podcasts, so if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read these out in the future. Fallout Lorecast, this is just an amazing podcast. It got me back into the Fallout series. 5 out of 5 best podcasts listened to by me. I'm going to assume that you've listened to every podcast, and so this is just the best podcast, period. So thank you for that review, Grey Ghost. Then we've got one from Sheath from the United States, who writes, message to robots. I've been playing Fallout for a while, mainly 4, 3, and New Vegas, and love the Fallout games in general. I have been looking for a good Fallout podcast, but couldn't find one until I found the Fallout Lorecast. Keep on making great videos. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you checked out the videos. And also, it appears like you've been checking out some of the audio stuff as well. Hopefully, we'll get back to turning more of these episodes into videos soon. That's a thing I work on with some other people. But hopefully, we'll get some new ones up. But thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. And let's move on with the rest of the conversation.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so we only have so much time left. We got about 15 minutes left. I want to read out some descriptions about some of the other characters, and you let me know what you think. And of course, you can use some of the stuff from the images in order to kind of fill in the gaps in your opinions and things. We have Kyle McLaughlin, who is playing Overseer Hank, the ruler and leader of Vault 33, who is Lucy's father. We see him in that image. I'm assuming he's the guy with her in the image. He has noble goals and ambitions to change the world for the better. I'm getting Vault 101 stuff, like your dad trying to fix the water, leaves the vault, you have to go find him. Like, are you guys feeling that on this?
I got those vibes too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of nodding. So,
sort of like, yeah, like 101 vibes where they want to keep everyone in.
Yeah, like this clearly has been a vault that's been closed for over 200 years, and the Overseer looks like they're doing things differently because they want to help people. It's coming across a lot like that. I've got that kind of feeling on it. So but not too much else about Kyle and Overseer Hank, who Kyle McLaughlin plays Overseer Hank. We have Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus. He's the guy we were talking about just a little bit ago, a young soldier who is in the rank of squire within the militaristic group known as the Brotherhood of Steel. He believes in the nobility of the Brotherhood's mission to bring law, justice, and order to the wasteland, and will do anything to make sure that mission gets completed. Tell me I'm crazy to think that this is ramped up to 11 and is clearly the beginning of a story arc of somebody who's going to have those expectations crushed. Does that sound like that to you? Like, gung-ho, super in it, the Brotherhood's doing the right things for the wasteland, law, justice, and order, do anything to get it done.
Yeah, it feels exactly like we were just talking about before the break.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not crazy. You're all with me on that. You think that maybe we're going to get somebody who's like, super idealistically bought in, and their world is going to change, that kind of thing.
It's that young passion for people who are younger tend to have very strong ideals, and they want to do everything and anything to do what they think is right, including going out to the streets and protesting and rioting, which is
sure, right,
you know, a lot of things like that happen. And so they probably bought into the Brotherhood's ideals of thinking, okay, we need to clean up the wasteland, the nuclear war happened because people are stupid and they don't have all this stupid technology, so we're going to keep this for ourselves because we're the good guys,
right? But if then, only everybody believed like we did, then the world would get better, that kind of
exactly
thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
but then they see Brother Max or Father Maxon stealing corn from Mr. Elijah over there or something like that.
Right.
And then he's kind of second guessing. Is it necessary to have to impose this harsh of a tax upon people who are not even really protecting? We're kind of just
right
pilfering from them.
I mean, how much more American can you get than taxation without representation?
Being an issue. Throw their Nuka-Cola in the harbor.
Yeah.
You beat me to
throw it.
Yeah, I think that could be a thing. All right, let's talk about Walter Goggins. We've known about him being in the show for a while, right? He seems freaking great. And my dogs are now barking.
I love this. I'm sorry. All right. I love this.
Yeah, so Walter Goggins is playing Cooper Howard. We know the name. We knew he was a ghoul. His name is Cooper Howard, a family man who previously had a family before the bombs dropped, who survived the nuclear explosions and now lives over 100 years, and I would assume over 200 years if he was there when the bombs dropped, as a ghoul. A radiated human who could sustain the radiation without any issues and works now as a bounty hunter in the wasteland. He's been described as mysterious with a sarcastic, smart-ass sense of humor, ruthless but lives with a code of honor. He is the good, the bad, and the ugly all rolled into the same personality type. And I'm pulling this from a Reddit post. I don't have to call out from Surviving Phoenix is the Reddit user. And I don't know if they took that language from somewhere else that I didn't find yet or if they wrote that themselves, but that's hilarious. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it sounds like Walter Goggins.
Okay.
Well, he's already probably going to be my favorite character. I'll tell you that.
I can already feel it.
He's Hancock. He's the Hancock of this series.
Yes.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying that is
Wild West Hancock.
Going to Vanity Fair article, talking about like the prosthetics. He's like, I need to be able to see Walton in his performance. He needs to look like a ghoul from the game, and he needs to be kind of hot.
Right. Yes.
This is what turned out to be literally true.
Right. Isn't Todd Howard who was saying that? I think like the idea is that he needs to be the kind of character who, although he's a ghoul, the fan base can fall in love with and be like, he's a freaking badass ghoul. I want to marry him. Right. Like, so yeah. Hancock. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for that character. He's
I'm excited for this too, because I'm like, oh, we're actually gonna
so excited. I love the ghoul characters. Like, they've always got great story and they're always hilarious. I've never met a ghoul character that didn't make me laugh.
What do you think about his cowboy? What do you think about his cowboy outfit? Like, we've got this image. One of the images is him sitting there in a chair, and he's got the hat. He's got the bandolier. He's got, like, everything's brown, right? Like, the brown coat.
Very NCR.
Yeah.
You say NCR, but I've never seen anything scream more New Vegas than anything else.
Yeah, right. No, this is screaming New Vegas.
It does look very Desert Ranger armor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bounty hunter. He looks like somebody who probably took that off of somebody he killed, right?
Desert Ranger or Texas Ranger?
Desert Ranger. Because there's a couple of versions of the Desert Ranger, but
The patrol rangers, like the ones you meet at the ranger stations before you get halfway into the game.
Yeah.
Where they just have the normal armor and the hat and everything, not the mask and the black suit.
Yeah.
And what is looking at the one photo of like him sitting down, you can tell he has a lever action rifle. And,
right.
Yeah.
Because what like Nova will probably be able to tell me better than this. It's like that looks like 44 slugs.
Those are 12 gauge shotguns, sir.
Yeah, those are
12 gauge shells.
Those are 12 gauge shotguns. Shells,
yeah. Oh yeah, that's like a Winchester 1887 on his back.
Okay.
For sure.
I was with the lever action, but like, the slugs is all right. I'm not good with ammo. Okay.
Yeah. that would be the lever action shotgun from New Vegas, by the way. If you're needing a reference, the 1887 shotgun, which he has right there, would be the lever action from New Vegas.
I hope we get a Terminator reload where he like spins it and cocks it in with one hand.
Yeah. No, it's impossible. It doesn't have the right.
It doesn't matter. It's a TV show.
They're specifically also for horse riding.
Yeah,
because so they can do it one handed.
I'm also so ready to hear the voice.
Yeah, I bet it's nice and gravelly. I bet he's
I would love because like yeah. I've only seen because that I've always seen that character the actor whenever I see him in movies it's usually a villain. It'll be nice to see him do something a little different for once.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to make sure we get some more stuff in here before we have to wrap up the episode. Let's go down to the picture of his face. What do you think about the ghoul makeup? I think this is one of those things that I'm sure they were very careful about. It needs to both look like a ghoul, but we, like they said, we need to be able to see his performance underneath it. We need to know that that's him. And, you know, like a wink and a nod, like the facial expressions are going to come through. What do you think?
That's one thing I want to say is, you go ahead. I've talked a lot.
I like it, honestly. It's not overdone, but it's also done just right. Because, the biggest thing is the nose. The nose isn't there.
It's not there. It's a freaking black hole.
Yeah. Yes. And then also, like, if you look at his right ear, you can see, like, a piece of it's, like, missing.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, like, the degradation of, like, the cartilage is there, and, like, the skin tightening and, like, just shriveling up and just losing its plasticity is there. Like, his eyes look even sunken in.
Right. The skull. Just, like, you can see the shape of the skull around it. Yeah.
But, like, I like it because you can tell, like, oh, like, something's off about him, but the voice is going to sell it. I feel like that's going to really make his, like, oh, that's going to be, like, oh, this is, like, someone who had, like, some horrific burn accident to, like, no, this guy is a ghoul.
Yeah. Now, there's another thing you can notice here. The signs behind him are, I think, some of the same signs that we see with Lucy, entering Philly. Yes. This is the same location. So,
yeah,
it appears.
The supply store.
Yeah, it appears that, like, maybe this is even from the very first episode. She comes out of the vault for some reason, she runs into him. Wackiness ensues, right? Like, whatever else happens.
I'm going to say episode 2.
Yeah. So we've got, he's clearly out in the West. He's not just wearing a cowboy outfit, clearly near LA. The vault is near LA. But from what I've heard, this show is going to span both coasts. So are we seeing Brotherhood stuff from the East Coast and somehow everything comes together somewhere?
It looks like it could be that way, because if you look at the picture with the Squire, I think is what they called him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Squire,
yeah. Maximus.
Bray, Power Suit,
yeah,
yeah. Knight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is very green and not New Vegas like at all.
Yes. And this is exactly the point I wanted to make, too. I'm glad you brought this up. They
That's a good point.
On TV shows and movies, they color grade the frames in order to look at the color grading. The stuff that we know is in the West Coast is color graded yellowy orange, like kind of brownish, right? Just like New Vegas. Right. The stuff that looks like it's Brotherhood is color graded greenish, like Fallout 3. It's not just
even 4.
Or 4, right. It's not just the fact that, oh, this guy happened to be bluer. I think we're seeing color grading and we're actually getting nods to the games. How cool is that? I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just that this guy just happens to be bluer and so
right,
it looks more blue.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
They're just up in Washington State.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We don't know yet. But that's.
I
mean,
I can't wait for this. That's just.
Bro, can you imagine, like, this is, sorry, off topic. My brain had the idea. Can you imagine a future Fallout faction of, like, people who live in the trees of the Redwood Forest?
Oh, God. Yeah,
there
like
would be too many thousand mile stare jokes.
Yeah,
it's still there.
Call them.
That's also true.
Maybe like Ewok camps up in the trees.
I was thinking more of the Lorax.
New cryptid.
The Lorax. Yeah. All right. So there's one more. There's one more character I have to mention before we wrap up this episode. Michael Emerson is playing a wasteland scientist who is obsessed with studying the world and will do anything to continue and advance his research. Again. Anything to do this, anything to achieve this, anything to continue and advance his research. What his research is, we don't know. He's playing a character named Wilzig, W-I-L-Z-I-G. Scientist looking to advance things at all costs. That screams evil villain to me, or Wilzig, master.
Is that the only name that's there?
That's all we know, Wilzig.
That is the most Fallout scientist name I've ever heard.
Yeah, right? Right? Is this?
I'm wondering if it's former Enclave.
Maybe, yeah. Former Enclave. Yeah, somebody who's manipulating the FEV again for some reason. Maybe it's a good reason, but it goes off the rails. You know, like that would be very Fallout. So, All right. Well, we got to wrap this up. Guys, thank you so much. This has been super fun. I know we're all pumped about this. And even just chatting with you guys and going over this in more detail with you makes me even more excited because of all the things. And heck, if half the things that we just like estimated came true, that would be amazing, right? So, all right, let's go through. We're going to go through everybody's names on the screen the way I can see you. And feel free to shout out anything that you've got going on that you want to shout out or just say thanks for being here and all that stuff. Pumpkin, you're up first.
So first off, I'll be in the chat after this show. I'll probably be in the Hangout chat. So if anyone wants to talk, I'll be in there.
But on the Discord, those of you on the chat right now in the Twitch chat, on the Discord, join our Discord, join the after show chat.
But yeah, I do have a X Twitter, whatever. I think it's weird. It is the Pumpkin King. The E is a three and the I's are ones. And I do mainly cosplay stuff. Again, I haven't been able to because life's been getting in the way.
Sure.
You know how it is.
Cool.
But yeah, you can always talk to me on the Discord. I try and game every weekend. So I do PlayStation mainly. So I do a lot of 76 and I've been doing trying to get my responders thing off the ground. So, but yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Jump on the Discord, send Pumpkin a note and play some games together. Absolutely. Nova, you're up next.
Yes. Hello. So I have a YouTube channel that is Supernova, capital S, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. I had actually just posted a video about Sunset Sarsaparilla earlier today, and I figured it out. Two of my clips were corrupted, and it kept crashing the program for some reason, Tom. Yeah, it kind of sucks. I had to go back and record all of those. We've talked about this on the Starfield Lorecast a little bit, and so I was updating Tom what happened. But anyways, though,
I'm glad you figured it out. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It took far too long for me to realize that it's these two stupid clips. Anyways, sucks. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, life has been going to keep me very busy, but I started doing a few YouTube shorts. I am mostly either doing individual characters, so just small little characters doing their lore, or I also started doing real life comparisons of the guns in game to the guns in Fallout. I just did the cowboy repeater, and so if you're interested, you can check my shorts out, or well, not check my shorts out.
Check out my shorts right now.
I'm not wearing those though. It's too cold here right now. It's just got snowing.
I'm even wearing a jacket. I live in Florida.
Yeah, look at you, Doom Guy.
Yeah, Doom Guy's under there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's basically what I've been doing. If you're interested in Fallout lore, then come check my YouTube channel out. I will also eventually be doing Call of Duty, Zombies, and Halo.
Nice. Cool, man. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
All right, Everett, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad that you were here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok under my username. It's Everett Thing. EverettHing.
Clever.
I post on all those platforms pretty frequently. I don't really post too much about Fallout as of right now, but I hope to in the future. I talk a lot about mental health and LGBTQ+ awareness. If you're interested in that, you can check it out. If not, you can just talk about Fallout with me. I'd be happy to talk about it for hours.
Awesome.
I'm also on Discord. I just joined probably about a month or so ago, so I'm still trying to like figure everything out. But I'm willing to chat if you'd like to talk. So my DMs are open.
That's very cool. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. Void, you're up next. You got anything to shout out?
Well, I have a Twitch. V01D696. I stream every now and then. I haven't been lately. Life's been getting in the way. I do have a TikTok. The Avalanche Welder, spelled out, no spaces. I post some welding content on there. I have a truck. It's a Chevy Avalanche. And I've been doing some modifications of that. And I'm always on the Discord. So
awesome. Awesome. Well,
alrighty.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us. Lil Green, you got anything to shout out?
Not really. The only thing is, you know, if you want to see my photography work, you can always look me up on Instagram at lilgreen_photography. I've actually had quite a few of our listeners follow me on there, and it's actually nice to, you know, see people finding me from here.
That's great.
So, yeah, I've just been working a lot. Hopefully get some personal stuff out there soon.
Awesome. Yeah, building community is so cool. Like when everyone's like, I like this, you like this, let's be friends. You know, that's so cool. Well, thanks, Lil. AK Spartan, I know you got stuff, right? Like new things.
Yeah. So I am in the Rocket Club, and I have been working on getting everything ready for the launch of the Elden Archives, which is a From Software or Elden Ring lorecast for the network. So everything's been, I've been working towards that. That should be getting pretty soon there. We're getting just everything checked off for getting everything done to get that put out officially and get that started. So people can look forward to that pretty soon.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for it too, because that lore is dense. And I'm glad that somebody else is doing the research instead of me. So I get to just listen and enjoy. So that sounds awesome. Well, good luck with that. And I'm sure we'll update people next month on like, hey, it's out. Go check it out. Go look it up.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the plan. So yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. Con Man, anything you want to shout out?
Not really this time. I'm just happy to be here. Hope everybody enjoys. Yeah, it's being here.
Cool, man. Thanks. And then Maverick, what do you have going on? Maverick's still there. Is he driving his truck and now we don't have signal? Well, I can speak for Maverick a little bit. He does the Fallout Roundtable. So if you're looking for more Fallout content from stuff on the network and people talking about conversations like this all the time, that's what that show's about. You should go check it out. Maverick, I'm so sorry we can't hear you if you're talking or maybe internet got messed up, but thank you for being here. And thank you for all for joining me and for being here. And we're getting close to wrapping up another year. Come January, we'll be moving into another year of content for this show. Holy crap, year six. We'll be starting year six. That's crazy. But thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you are all here and help support this and you make this possible. So thank you for being here. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you next week with another regular episode. Stay safe out there and keep the hype for the TV show going, because hopefully we still get some more information before it launches in a few months. All right, see you all later. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. So if you're still sticking around and wondering what's going on with the rest of the extra few minutes here on this episode, in the episode end, before we wrapped up the recording last night, or actually after we wrapped up the recording last night, Silas reached out and sent a recording of his thoughts on the topic because he wasn't able to make it to the chat. So I'm tacking it on to the end here so you can hear Silas's thoughts. Here you go. And thanks, Silas, for sending this in.
Hello, everyone. This is my thoughts and opinions on the topic from this month, which is all about the screenshots and the interviews with Todd Howard about the new Fallout TV show. Long story short, I am very cautiously optimistic about it. As with any video game movie adaptation type of thing, it can either be really, really good, like The Last of Us, or in my opinion, the Halo TV show, or it can be very, very bad. Kind of like, in my opinion, again, the Uncharted movie, which I was a huge fan of. From what we have seen so far of screenshots of sets, pictures of cast in their costumes, the power armor, from what we've seen so far, I am very excited to finally get an actual trailer. I know that they released a exclusive trailer recently at one of the, I think, Gamescom it was. I'm really excited to be able to actually look at that through an actual TV screen instead of watching, you know, phone recordings of other people watching it. I'm very excited to see Walter Goggins' portrayal of his character. I know that he is a very cunning and creative guy, and a lot of his characters follow a pretty similar roguish archetype. And he's always been very good at playing that kind of character. And I really like the choice of makeup they chose for him to be the ghoul. It's very minimalist, but it still really gets the point across of what the character is. Another one of my thoughts is just with regards to the Brotherhood of Steel. Personally, I'm not a big Brotherhood of Steel fan. And I really hope that they show both the good side and the bad side to the faction itself, because in Fallout 4, it's a very polarizing topic of whether or not to like the Brotherhood of Steel and their message that they send across the wasteland. And then in my opinion, Fallout 3, the faction of Brotherhood of Steel is a lot more comforting and protective of everyone in the Commonwealth. And I'm just excited to see how everything turns out. And I'm, once again, cautiously optimistic. I really do hope that it works well, and I hope that they're able to make it palatable for all audiences, those of us who know and cherish the lore, and those who are new to the series who don't have the interest yet in getting to fall deeper into the rabbit hole. And I just hope that they don't rely heavily on inside knowledge and inside jokes, but I also hope that they don't hold everyone's hand through the story and make it so that at the end of the day, it's just kind of a boring story because they just told us everything right off the bat. I'd still like to figure everything out on our own. So yeah, that's my thoughts and opinions on the topic. And if the episode didn't turn out quite like how I thought it did, then I'm just a fun little snippet in it. I hope you guys have a great day. If you need to reach me, I'm on Discord. Nothing really else going on. Thank you all, and stay safe out there.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company S.I. and its operating company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.